called Harvey.
Thank you, David. My name's Harvey. I'm an addict.
Hi, Harvey.
God, my voice sounds funny in this mic. Yeah, I guess I should start with saying I am crapping myself. And the funny thing is I actually asked to do this. Yeah, no word of a lie. I approached Gary last week and I said, I'd like to do the chair. He kind of looked me up and down and said, next week. Shit, okay then. Yeah, I'm really nervous. And I'm the kind of person who will kind of analyze and rationalize and work out why I'm nervous. And now the simple answer is that I want this chair to be as perfect as possible. I want everyone to love what I say and get something really profound and helpful and spiritually enlightening out of every word I utter. And I find it difficult to come to terms with the fact that that might not happen. Childhood issues, I don't know. But I am slowly coming to terms with such things. I don't have to be perfect anymore. I don't... Not that I was perfect in the past, but I don't have to try anymore. I'm learning to try and just be myself. And do what I want to do, like doing this chair. I wanted to do this chair for such a long, long time. And was never asked, and I thought, well, you know, instead of sitting there wanting to do it and kind of turning yourself inside out, why don't you ask? You know, nothing wrong with asking. So I did, and you know, and here I am. Suppose I'll give you a little background of myself. I grew up out west, not the Wild West, but it was close, Southall, over in the Ealing Borough. I like to call it shithole, but... and on the face of it, my upbringing, my growing up was pretty average, you know, four of us in the family, mum and dad, brother, myself. You know, we had a roof over our heads, we had food in the fridge, clothes on our backs, went to school and all of that. You know, we weren't really wanting for anything. But I always felt out of sorts. I always felt like I didn't fit in. I always felt like I'm the odd one out and people hate me and then I hated myself. You know, all the pretty common stuff amongst us addicts from what I now know. You know, and it kind of led me to do some pretty freaked out things from quite a young age. I remember at the end of middle school, we got given our choices for high school, and I wanted to go to the one where the girl I liked to go is going, and all my friends are going, and my dad had other ideas, and to cut a long story short, he just made the choice for me, and I ended up being given the one that he chose. And you know, it really, really fucking affected me. And you know, rather than tell him how I felt and tell him what that had done to me, I resolved to run away from home at the tender age of 11 and live like a street kid in London. Like that TV program I'd seen, they all seemed happy and friendly, and you know, I've got to go and do that. And you know, it all went pretty pear shaped. Not going to go into the details, but that was like the first major act of self destruction of just madness. And I hadn't even picked up a drug then. You know, so I know, I mean, if you want to call it the addict brain or the disease of addiction or whatever, I know I had it from a pretty young age. And then in high school, alcohol, cannabis, you know, all the things that kids do nowadays. Excuse me. See, But it was in high school, and in school in general, I actually liked learning. I liked the lessons, I liked impressing the teachers, I liked doing well, I liked learning. And so as a result, I was quite clever and kind of enjoyed my classes and stuff. But at the same time, I wanted to be one of the cool kids, and I wanted to be one of the kids that was liked by all the girls, or at least some of the girls. But you know, I couldn't find a compromise. I couldn't find a way for both of those things to exist in my life. I didn't ask for guidance. Nobody offered, and I kind of just went off the rails. I got really good results in my mocks, and then I ended up not even sitting any one of my GCSEs. So kind of within a year, I went downhill pretty quickly. Left school, and it was just cannabis all the way for a long time. And the truth is, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed getting high. I really enjoyed the social thing. I really enjoyed laughing endlessly over trivial stuff with other idiots. And feeling like I was a part of, feeling like I was belonging. I mean, that's kind of what drugs did for me. I was really disappointed when I left school with no GCSEs. I was really, really disappointed in myself, you know, for not achieving what I know I could have achieved. I know it. There was nothing getting in the way but myself, and that was a real reason for me to just beat myself up. You know, and drugs took all of that shit away. Drugs make it, especially cannabis, kind of made it all right. You know, and then heroin came along. And heroin, I mean, did pretty much the same stuff that cannabis did, except it drove me to isolation in the end. There wasn't much social smoking with heroin. And it drove me, I mean, I was stealing stuff from before heroin came along, but drove me to some pretty drastic measures as far as kind of getting my money for it goes. You know, and there's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame around that stuff, and the cycle kind of began then. I would do some heroin for some time, thinking it's all right, trying to make it work in my life, and then have this sudden epiphany that, no, shit, I've got to get off, and then do a cold turkey, and then try and make a go of life. Yeah, sometimes cannabis came back in quickly, sometimes it took a while and it was back in again. Same with the alcohol. But then, you know, things wouldn't work and then the heroin would come back in. And there was a cycle like that for a number of years in my late teens and early 20s. It was just back and forth, back and forth. You know, not knowing what I wanted to be. A clean ex-heroin addict or a using current heroin addict. I was just back and forth. You know, and I was somewhat functioning. I'd managed to get jobs and hold on to jobs for a while until, of course, the heroin crept back in. And I'd just jack them in, I'd just leave. Very rarely was I actually fired. I just walked out, a lot of jobs. And then this one time I left home. I left the job, I left home thinking, you know, I'm back here again using heroin while I don't want to use it. And I can't seem to make a go of life without it. So the only option is suicide. And, you know, seriously considering it lots of times. But this first time I resolved I'm going to do it. Right, that's it. Fuck it. I'm walking out of this job. I walked out on a lunch break. I didn't come back. I was going to go in school. And I was going to throw myself off of this flyover near where I live. And you know, I got the bag. I got really stoned. I got onto the flyover and I was standing there, and I remember standing there thinking, you know, should I dive into the oncoming traffic or onto the other traffic? Should I wait for a big coach or a truck in the M4? You know, and I was just standing there, just doing that stuff, and then I walked off. I don't even know what made me stop and walk away. Was it my parents? Was it, you know, and then that was when I first started to try and get some help. I didn't know about rehab or anything like that. The only kind of help I knew of was like drug drop-in centres, where a lot of people go to get referrals for scripts and stuff. I didn't really need that because I'd do the home detox as usual. But when I got some help, like with the herbal teas and massages and that kind of help, and it worked for a bit until I found a job, and then the same cycle started again. And that cycle kept on going. I mean, the time I spent off of heroin kind of would increase with each cycle. But the degree of madness and the things I went to, the lengths I went to when I was using again, rapidly got worse and worse every time I did pick up again. And that cycle went on until, about 15 odd months ago, which was when I came into NA. And what NA gave me is too much to try and fit into 5 minutes. But yeah, what NA gave me is space to smile. I mean, the story I've just given sounds so sad and sounds so, you know, horrible and degrading. And as any human being, I've had moments of laughter and smiling and stuff like that, you know, but there weren't many. And they definitely weren't memorable. But since coming into NA, I've had so many reasons to smile and so many friends that support me and so many places I can go to and just get my stuff off my chest. And, you know, not to mention the steps and the sponsor and working the program and just so much. Right now I'm on step 4 and, you know, my perfectionism was coming out. So at first I was wondering if I'm doing it right, ringing my sponsor left, right and centre. And then when he said there's no right and wrong way of doing it, I didn't touch it for a week and I missed the deadline. And he got, well, he didn't get angry, but he kind of got a little annoyed. And, you know, so that's kind of my battle. I mean, I have to remember. I guess what I'm working on right now is remembering that I'm not perfect and that actually it's very painful trying to be perfect. And I guess it's just a bit scary. Just being me, because I've always had to have some kind of an image. I've always had to have some kind of an image to portray, some kind of a mask to put up. Because I'm scared that I won't be accepted. Because I'm worried that, you know, I'll get left behind. And, you know, that's kind of the fear that drove me back to just drove me to do some of the stuff that I did. I just want to end with something for the newcomers. If there are people in this room who are like that first time around or even back around from a relapse and just wondering what the hell's going on and what can I do, I think the best advice I can give is, not that I want to give advice, but keep coming back and take it easy on yourselves. You know, I can say this today, like me, you are all special people. We are all extremely special people. And if you keep coming back, and if you take it easy on yourself, it's easier to stay special. So, that's my message. Stay special. Thanks for listening.